Amen. Good to see y'all out tonight on a Wednesday night. A good crowd for a Wednesday night. I'm glad we got somebody we can talk to. I work for a telecommunications company, and a lot of times I remember the first class they took us, we worked in fiber optics, and the portion that I worked in, and they told us there would be thousands upon thousands of telephone calls up at one time on a single strand of fiber the size of your hair. And I'm talking about hundreds of thousands of calls and data and all your internet and all your phone, your cell phone, and all that stuff going across there. But I remember times where people would go out and they'd cut that fiber and our stuff may have been down. But let me tell you what, it didn't have no effect of how you could pray to God and get in touch with the Father. And see, they had not lived that technology yet. See, we can talk to the Father all the time. There's nothing that can impede us. There's nothing that can stop you. They may take everything you got away from you, but they'll never take the God out of you, and they can never take away your prayers. I thank Him tonight we got a church that we can go to. I ain't looking for no Pope. I don't need him to pray for me. I'm glad I can go straight to a mediator, and that mediator is Christ, and Christ can get in touch with the Father, and I'm glad He's able to forgive sin tonight. I thank Him we got a church here in Bowden, Georgia. Thank you all for your attention tonight. If you've got your Bible, turn over to the book of Exodus, chapter number 12. The book of Exodus, chapter number 12. I want to read a few verses found here about the Passover lamb. A very familiar story, but a very doctrinal story that we have about the blood of Christ and the importance of it. I want to begin reading in Exodus chapter number 12 and verse number 1. And the Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." Ain't you glad God can get a word down into Egypt? You see, Egypt didn't have to be. The children of Israel was in Egypt, but Egypt did not have to be in the children of Israel. And that's the way we are today. We may be in the world. Egypt is always a picture of sin. It's always a picture of the world. But let me tell you what, we may walk in this world, but let me tell you what, this world and this world system does not have to be in us tonight. I thank God that He can get a word down in Egypt. Verse number 3, it says, "Speak ye unto the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of the month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls, every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb." Verse number 7, it says this, "And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the house, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and bitter herbs, and they shall eat it. Eat not it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertness thereof." Verse number 11, it says this, "And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat in haste, and it is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord." Verse 13, "And the blood shall be for you a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood," I believe I'll read that again. "And when I see the blood," you see, He ain't looking for just anything. He's looking for that thing of importance. And He's going to pass over those who's got that thing that's important to Him. And you know what that is? That is the blood of the Lamb. "And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I need Your touch tonight, Lord. I thank You, Lord, for the Word of God. Lord, I pray, Lord, that there be liberty here. Lord, I thank You for my church. Lord, I thank You for placing me here. Lord, I pray, Lord, that You speak to us tonight through Your Word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. I want to take my text verse tonight out of verse number 4, and it says this, in Exodus 12, verse number 4. And it says, if the household be too little for the lamb. And I want to preach on this thought tonight. He will be enough for me. You see, there was one requirement here. It didn't say that that lamb would be too little for the household. It said that household, they may have a problem down there at that house. He said that lamb may be too big for that house, and you may have to take that lamb to somebody else. There'd be enough of him to go around. You say, why are you so excited about the lamb? Let me tell you who that lamb was. Abraham saw that lamb over in Genesis chapter number 22. He was taking his only son Isaac up to Mount Moriah to slay him. And Isaac said, Daddy, he was fixing to slay him. He's going to be obedient to God. And Isaac, he saw there and he said, Daddy, I see the fire, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And I believe, Abraham, as he took that knife back to slay his only son Isaac, he looked down through the ages and he saw a ram caught in the thicket. You say, a ram? What about a lamb? I believe he could see past that ram caught in that thicket. And he could see on Mount Moriah, he see the Lamb of God hanging on a tree for his sin. You see, they looked to a cross. The lamb was enough for Abraham. It was enough for Isaiah. I remember in Isaiah chapter number 53, it said this. He's brought... as a lamb to the slaughter, and a sheep before his shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. I'm telling you tonight, he was slain for with his stripes we are healed. Isaiah saw him that way. I remember old John the Baptist saw him. He was baptizing in the River Jordan over in John chapter number 1. And he said this. He made an announcement. He said, everybody had all that importance on John. And he said, who are you preaching about, John? He said, I'm fixing to show you. He said, here he comes. He said, he made an announcement. He said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And it was that Lamb that we're going to go by with to heaven tonight. If you're going to go, you're going to go through the same Lamb that John was preaching about. Not only did John the Baptist see him, I noticed that John the Revelator saw him. Over in Revelation chapter number 13 and verse number 8, he said this. He was as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Let me tell you what that lamb was. That was the Son of God. He was the only begotten of the Father. He was full of grace. He was full of truth. And I'm going to tell you how you're going to go tonight. You're going to go by that lamb that died on the cross of Calvary. Let me tell you this. The lamb is enough tonight. He said, you may have one little problem about this verse. He said, your household may be too little for the lamb. You see, there would be enough lamb to go around. He will be enough for me. I want to say, first of all, He'll be enough for me when time changes. When time changes. Look down in verse number 2. The Bible says this. He said, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Now you say, what's the significance of that? You say, God had gave them a new calendar. You see, all their time they had been serving it down in Egypt. And in the Jewish calendar, they had two times. They had the government time that they kept up with. But God said, no, I don't care what time it is down there in Egypt. One man said it this way. They were serving on Egyptian standard time. But God would do this. He would give them a new beginning. Let me tell you what happened when you got saved. You got a new beginning. God said, I don't care what the day says on that calendar down there in Egypt. He said, you can mark it out. It's a new beginning. And you say, when did He start doing that? You see, in this we'll find the last plague that the children of Israel, that God would use Moses to bring on Pharaoh. The last judgment. You see, it was not lice. It was not frogs. It was not flies. It was not hail that would bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. You know what would bring them out? It would always be this. It'd be the blood of the Lamb. He would lead them out that. All these Egyptians, all they ever knew was to serve with rigor. The Bible said in Exodus chapter number 1 and verse number 14, the taskmasters that Pharaoh would put over these children, he said it would make their lives bitter with hard bondage and mortar and brick and all manner of service in the field. And all their service when they made them serve was with rigor. That word rigor means to break apart. It means cruelty. Every time I imagine those children of Israel went out into the field and they went to bed at night. They'd wake up the next morning, they look at their calendar, and every hour they probably knew what they was going to be doing, hour by hour. They knew the stripes that they was going to be beat with. They knew the taskmasters, what they was going to say to them. They knew they was going to treat them harshly. They knew they was going to beat upon them. They was going to treat them cruelly before all their friends and all their family. And that's all they had to look forward to. But God would say this, it's time for a new calendar. It's time for a new beginning. Let me tell you what, when I got saved, God gave me a new calendar. He gave me a new beginning. He said, any man that be in Christ is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are becoming new. I'm telling you tonight, you may be saying, well, I don't know what I'm doing out in this world. Let me tell you what, you got saved, God gave you a new calendar. And look to God and let Him change your days. You see, a lot of times we're still serving this thing on the world's calendar. But let me tell you what, we need to look at this thing as God's calendar. He's giving you a new calendar, a new beginning, a new way to walk, a new way to talk, and a new way to speak. And He would put that down in the heart of the children of Israel. And see, with time change, He'll be enough as for a new calendar. Not only that, I see a word in the Bible. If you look down in verse number 3, it's the first time this word is ever mentioned in the Bible. When I was in Bible college, they taught us this. I didn't learn much there, but they did teach me this. He said, anytime God said something for the first time, you need to pay attention. It's the law of the first mention. Look what it said. It said, speak ye unto the congregation of Israel. That word congregation there is the first time it's ever written down in your King James Bible. You know what it means? It means a family. You know what? And God told me this. This is what He said to me there. He said, they may bring you out, but they're going to bring you out as a family. You see, they went into this thing as individuals. You see, when I was out in this world and I wasn't saved, I was an individual. God brought me into a family. You say, what family am I in? I'm in the family of God. I'm in the congregation of Liberty Baptist Church tonight. It's a family of God. It's a family of God that's assembled together to serve Him. You see, it was the first time it ever been mentioned. And God said, when you go through Egypt, guess what? You may have come in here as individuals, but guess what? You're going to come out as a family. I'm glad tonight He's bringing us out as a family. And I'm glad I serve in the congregation of the Lord. Tonight, He said, speak ye unto all the congregation. I want to say this, God has set the members as it has pleased Him. You say, well, I don't like my neighbor down here. I don't like who sits by me on my pew. Let me tell you what, you didn't set them there. I think God did. It brings a new perspective into life when you know God set them there and you didn't. You see, God's in control of this thing. He's working things out for His honor and His glory. You see, when I was growing up, I never came to Bowdoin, Georgia. I lived in Roanoke, and every time I went through Bowdoin, I'd just go through downtown, and every once in a while, there was a golf shop right there on the right, and I'd stop at the red light. I'd go on through here, go straight to Tallapoosa, up to the West Georgia Golf Company. God said years later, He said, I want you to go to church there. I want you to serve there. And it would be there that He'd call me to preach. It'd be here He'd give me great people to be around with the saints of God. You know why? He set the members here. He gave us a family. That's why we ought to serve Him. That's why we ought to be here. As Brother Mike said, we ought to be serving in the congregation of the Lord. When times change, He'll be enough. Not only that, the Lamb will be enough for me. Not only when time changes, but He'll be enough for me when troubles come. You see, these old Hebrew children had been out in Goshen. And in Goshen, they had been away from all these plagues that God was bringing upon the children, bringing upon Pharaoh and all of his Egyptians. And they were serving in Goshen. And you know what? They were safe, they were saved, and they were secure. But I want to tell you this, it did not exempt them from going through a dark night. You see, there was trouble coming on them. And you think about that, all these children of Israel had ever known was to serve with rigor. They always served with brick and mortar every day. God had changed their time, but there was also a time that trouble was going to come. And Daddy, I can imagine the daddy going into his children and saying, you know, God spoke unto Moses and He told him, He said, the death angel is going to pass through the town of Egypt tonight. But if you got the blood applied to you, the doorpost of your house tonight, the death angel will pass over you. And I can imagine those little boys as they went, the firstborn, as he went to sleep that night, he didn't know what was going to happen. Anybody in here ever had a doctor's appointment and you didn't know what they was going to tell you and it made you a little uneasy? I imagine, and maybe you guys may be more spiritual than I am, but I think if I was the firstborn son, I'd be a little uneasy that night. I've got an issue with myself when I don't know what it is. The lady had a long term for it. I forgot what it's even called. But every time I go into a doctor's office and they try to take my blood pressure, it makes my blood pressure go up. I can take it at home and it look good. But let me tell you what, when they get that thing on me and I start watching it, and I said, man, they're going to put me in the hospital by the time I get done with this thing. It makes my arm feel like it's going to fall off. It makes my blood pressure go up. But let me tell you what, I imagine each one of those children of Israel that night as they went to bed, that firstborn son, he was probably a little uneasy. Let me say this, the lamb will be enough when troubles come. You see, each one of those boys, when they lay down at night, they didn't know what was going to happen, and there was going to be a dark night. And let me tell you what, just because you're saved and in here tonight in a good church does not exempt you from a dark night. Many of you have been through dark nights and been through hard times, but I guarantee you some of you could get a witness to tonight. He'll be enough when trouble comes. You see, there's been trouble in each one of our lives. The Bible said this in the book of Job, a man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. It does not exempt you from going through trouble, and it will not exempt you from going through a dark night. But I'm here to tell you tonight, I don't know what your trouble is. I don't know how dark your night is, but I do know this because my Bible says it. He will be enough when trouble comes. And I'm glad God said this in Psalms 91 and verse number 15. He said, I will be with you in trouble, and I will deliver him. And honor him. I'm glad we have a promise from God tonight. That I'm glad we don't serve a God that when we get into the slightest bit of trouble, he tucks tail and run. See, I've had friends that did that. I've told y'all this story before. I'll tell it again. During homecoming, back when I was growing up in school, it was big to make those floats. Anybody ever done that? I remember one night they sent us up. We was making at the Piggly Wiggly there in Roanoke. We had our little float building shed that we was using, and that's where we was going to store it at. And they made them little flowers to go around the side. And to make those little flowers, they take tissue paper, and they take floor wire, and they'd wrap it around there, and they'd tie it onto that float with that chicken wire around the side. They sent us up to town. We'd run out of floor wire. And me and my friends, we went through there, and I remember this. There was a tattoo shop there on the corner. Some of y'all may know where this is at. It's over there near the Big Chick. But right there at that corner, there was a tattoo shop. And they said, well, let's just all go up there and look in there and see what's going on in that place. And us being about 14 years old, we was all for that. So we all began to get up there and we'd look in that window and see, try to figure out what's going on in that place. And I remember I got up there. My first guy went, and he looked in there, and he said, I can't see nothing. I said, well, let me get up there and look. And I got up there, and I looked, and I couldn't see nothing. And one by one, each one of me and my friends, we looked in that window to see what was going on. All of a sudden, we heard a man screaming, running toward the door, and all of us took tail and run. And you know what? I didn't have no more friends there with me. They'd all gone. And I began to run down that alleyway, up toward the beach. I said, if I can just make it to the beach, he'll turn around. I got up there around Beep Chick right there in front of it, and I said, well, I don't know why we're running. We didn't do anything. All we did was look in the window. I said, I'll stop. None of my friends stopped, though. They all kept going. By the time I turned around, here come a man. I couldn't even get a glimpse of him. He had pulled a knife and had it to my neck there in front of the Beep Chick. When troubles come, he'll be enough for you. He had a knife to my neck. 14 years old. There in front of the Beep Chick. And he began to talk to me. And I said, sir, I don't know why you're mad. I didn't do anything. We looked in your window. And when I pulled, he took me back to the front of that store. And when we come back to the front of the store, every window in front of that store was broke out. Every window. We didn't do it. But somebody had. When troubles come, he'll be enough for you. That guy let me go. As a 14-year-old boy, I believe this. I believe God had his hand between that guy's knife and my neck. An angel of the Lord that night. He'll be enough for you when troubles come. You can trust in him. But does not exempt you from a dark night. And you may be here tonight. You may have the darkest night you've ever been here. God sent me here to tell you this tonight. He'll be enough for you in a dark night. He'll be enough for you when troubles come. Not only that, He'll be enough for you when your transgressions are covered. Look what it said down in verse number 13. It said this, "And the blood shall be for you a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." I'm glad tonight I'm under the blood. My transgressions are covered. You see, He'll be enough when I'm standing before God. All He'll want to see is the blood, and it'll be enough. You see, I want to say, first of all, the lamb was selected. You see, when they went to pick out this lamb, it wasn't just any old lamb that they picked out. It had to be a perfect lamb. The book of Peter said it was this way. He said, "You're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold." He said this in verse number 1 Peter 1:19. But by the precious blood of Christ, without blemish and without spot. You see, this lamb was selected. See, He was the only one that could die for you. See, I couldn't die for you. The Pope couldn't die for you. No preacher, no man could ever die for you. But let me tell you what, Jesus loved you enough that He went to the cross and He purchased your redemption. How did He do it? Through the blood that He shed. I thought about the two thieves on the cross that was there with Him that day. There's going to be a thief there in heaven. I was witnessing to a guy this week. He said, "I could see why you go to heaven." I said, "I don't." I said, "I'm worse than any man in this building." And I was talking about our whole workplace. "I'm worse than any man in this room and here tonight." And that's a God's honest truth. I said, "I don't deserve to go." That's what I told him. And I began to think about those two thieves on that cross. And I began to tell that boy this story. I said, there was two thieves on the cross there with Jesus. And they was both thieves. And they was both robbers. And they was both murderers. And they had done everything wrong that you could probably ever think of. And they'd probably been doing it all their life. And I told him this. I said, one of them thieves, he didn't call on Jesus. He railed on Him. He said, "Why don't you deliver us? If thou be the Christ, deliver us." And there was one that said, "I believe on you." And he said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." I said, that thief, I told this boy this. I said, he didn't get down. He didn't get baptized. He never went to Sunday school. He never did have a perfect attendance at church. All he had known all his life was sin and the hardness of sin. But he found out that day. He found out that day that the Lamb would be enough to cover his transgressions. And he said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." And I believe as all those Old Testament saints, they was waiting for Jesus because they thought He was fixing to come back. He was fixing to die. And they thought, "Well, I wonder how He'll make it." And then all of a sudden they saw that old thief appear up. And I believe they asked Him this question. They said, "How'd you make it?" And I believe He said this, Brother Tim. He said this, "By the blood of the Lamb, I made it through." If somebody asked me how I made it, quickly I'll say it. By the blood of the Lamb, I made it through. How are you going to make it tonight? You're going to make it through the blood of the Lamb. Why? Because He'll be enough to cover your transgressions. He was a Lamb that was selected. Not only that, He was a Lamb that was slain. John the Revelator already said this. He was as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Let me tell you what, there was only one lamb that could die for you. And the Bible said this, He purchased our pardon. And I began to think about this. Why would somebody buy something? I mean, when you get right down to the basics, why would you buy something? And God gave me two thoughts right there. He said you'd only buy something if you needed it. Each day you go through this world and you go out to the grocery store, you're going to buy something in that grocery store because you need it. You need food. You need water. You need clothing. You need housing because you need it. The only other reason you buy something is because of this. And this is where it gets good. It's because you want it. See, God didn't need me, but let me tell you what, even though He didn't need me, He wanted me. And let me tell you what, He wants you tonight. And I'm glad tonight He purchased my pardon. And He covered my transgression. He was the only one that could die for me. He's the only one that could get me there. He brought my redemption. He brought reconciliation. He reconciled me to the Father. Not only that, He brought sanctification. And He brought justification. And all these things, He purchased my pardon. He'll be enough to cover your transgressions. You may be here tonight and you think, "I'm like one of those thieves," and say, "I've done too much. And I've gone too far." Let me tell you what, not for this lamb. This lamb said you hadn't done enough, and you hadn't done gone too far, because he's there for you, and he's there. He'll be enough to cover your transgressions. And I remember my grandmother. She didn't have much money. She didn't have a lot of stuff in this old world. And she'd say stuff like this. She was country. She'd say stuff like this. She'd say, "I reckon." That was one of her terms. And then she had another term that she always said. She'd say, "I just want it." Don't ask me what that means, because I don't know. But she'd say it every time I go down to her house. She'd say, "I just want it." And I just began to say, you don't think she knew what she was talking about. "I just want it." Somebody asked me something now, and I don't know. I just might as well say, "I just want it." But that's what she said. And she lived out in the country, and she didn't have much. I remember going to her house in the summertime, and it'd be so hot. Didn't have no central heat and air. Didn't have anything. It had an old aluminum tin roof on her house. Didn't have no insulation. And it'd be hot enough in there to melt a candle. I remember she had a big fan, and that's where we sat most of the time if we wasn't sweating from her back. Leaning up against her couch, one of them old vinyl couches to make your back sweat. She didn't have much in this old world. I remember we'd go down fishing in the creek. She owned some land that went to a creek, and we'd go down there fishing with her. And all of us, we'd have the finest zip code 33 you could have bought. And she'd have an old cane pole with a little old lure and a little old hook. And we'd come down there with the finest of lures and everything that a boy could save his allowance up to buy. It wasn't much, but we thought it was something. And she'd throw out that cane pole, and she'd catch more fish than we would. She'd use an old Catawba worm. Any of y'all know what that is? She didn't buy no lures. She had an old Catawba tree, and she'd pick those worms off, and she'd put them in a big old jar. And she'd carry her cane pole and carry that. And she didn't have much in this old world, but she had enough lamb. You see, you're not going to take this stuff with you. Well, let me tell you what, you will take this lamb with you wherever you go, and the lamb will be enough to cover your transgressions. Lastly tonight, and we'll be done. Not only will the lamb be enough when times change, when trouble comes, when transgressions are covered, but it'll be enough when traveling commences. Look what he said down in verse number 11. He said this, "And thus shall you eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand. And when you eat it in haste, it is the Lord's Passover." He said, when you eat it, better eat it quickly, and you better be ready. He said, you better have your loins girt. You know what that means? He said, you better be waiting at the door. You see, the Bible instructed these Israelites to stay in the house. The Bible said that when that death angel passed through, that you could hear the screams and the cries from Pharaoh's house down to the captives in the dungeons. Later on in this chapter. And I imagine each one of those children of Israel, as they heard those screams and they heard those cries, did not know what to imagine. And those that applied the blood to the doorpost of the house, no doubt the Bible told them to keep that door shut. But God told them this. He said, you better have your shoes on your feet. You better have your walking breeches on. You better have your walking boots on. He said, you better have your staff at hand. He said, because we're fixing to go out. Yeah. Let me tell you what, church, you better be ready tonight. See, the death angel's passing through. There's been people today that have passed out of this world. And the death angel's passed over them. Will you be ready when he comes? I got two questions before I'm done tonight in closing. The first one is this. Have you ever been washed in the blood of the Lamb? You see, Robert Lowry wrote that old verse in page 368 in the Redback and Hannibal. This is what he said. What will wash away my sin? He said this, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Are you washed in the blood tonight? Have there been a time that you ever been redeemed, that Jesus spoke to you and you got to be a sinner and you called on Him, you received Him as Lord and Savior? The book of Hebrews chapter number 29 says this, "Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he thought worthy who have trodden under the feet the Son of God, and hath counted blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace." You see, we'll all go over the blood. We'll all go through the blood, but you'll go one of two ways. You'll either go under the blood, or you'll go over the blood. You see, tonight, if you're not saved, you'll go over the blood. If you die without Christ, and you'll meet Him as a lost man. Let me tell you, those who are under the blood, you can rest assured tonight that the Lamb will be enough. The Lamb will be sufficient. Each man in this Bible found that Lamb to be sufficient. My grandmother, when she closed her eyes in death, didn't have nothing in this world. You know what she had? She had enough Lamb, and she could say this, the Lamb was sufficient all the days of her life. Have you been washed in the blood tonight? And then secondly, I want to bring one more thought to you that are saved. What will you do with the Lamb? What will you do with the Lamb? Look back at our text verse in verse number 4. It says this, and if the household be too little for the Lamb, praise God for that. I'm glad whatever I go through, there'll be enough Lamb for my house. But then he said this, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the Lamb. You know what he said? He said, if you got too much Lamb at your house, you know what you need to do? He said, take it to your neighbor. Each day you on your job and that man's working next to you, you know what he wants you to do? He wants you to take that Lamb that's in you, which you know you've got enough of, there'll never be a shortage of him, and take it to your neighbor. I've got some neighbors across the road from me I pray for daily. I want to see them saved. And I can see God just slowly working. And I'm praying that one day I'll see them get saved. And I want God to use me and let my life live it in front of them that would be effective for the gospel. You know why? Because I got some Lamb in me. And I know the Lamb's enough for me. And I got enough Lamb not only for me, but I got enough Lamb for my neighbor. Each day you go to work and on your job, what will you do with that Lamb? Each day you go out in this world, you pass by folks and God in heaven witnessing to you and telling you, go talk to that man, go talk to that person. What will you do with it? You see, that's the two most important questions you'll see tonight. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Has there ever been a time you've been saved? And secondly, what will you do with that Lamb? Those of us who are saved, will you be effective for Christ? Will you take it to your neighbor? Will you take it to your children? Will you take it to your grandchildren? Will you take it to your aunts and your uncles, your family, your friends, all your neighbors that are around you? You see, God has placed people around you to reach with the gospel. What will you do with the Lamb tonight, Brother Mike?